Today's gospel, Jesus speaks about secrets that will be divulged, and he speaks about sparrows and their relative insignificance. Might not be obvious to us right away what to make of these verses, so let's pause for a moment about this. First of all, about secrets, in modern times or in contemporary times, it seems as if there's no secrets anymore because everything is being recorded on secret cameras, CCTV and people's phones, and so often you hear in the news that someone's private conversation gets exposed in social media, or this happens to politicians all the time, something that they said 15 years ago is still floating around in the web somewhere, and it gets pulled out at the right moment to embarrass them when they say something opposite now, that sort of thing. So, because that's the experience now, and that's what we hear about all the time, that's what we might think of first when we hear Jesus talking about secrets, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about us being exposed to humiliation or public scandal or anything. Certainly all of us have secrets, and we have a lot of things that we have said in unguarded moments or in foolish moments that we would hope people didn't hear, and we would hope we'd never hear it again and hope nobody recorded it. Everyone has things like that. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the secret of our encounter with God, the secret of the heart, the secret of the conscience. The conscience is not only about what we've done wrong, but about who we are, about the very way we live and the way we relate to God and to one another. It's our secret core. It's our inner sanctuary. And Jesus says here, there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. And we say, oh no, oh no, all those secret things might be known. Well, they're already known to God. There's no secret before God. He knows everything. So we don't have to be afraid. Well, this is what Jesus is teaching us. We don't have to be afraid that God knows us, or that what we keep in the secret of our hearts will be revealed before God. He already knows. He says that what we have said in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what we have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I think he's referring especially to what we know about God, because he has revealed himself to us in the secret of our hearts, in time should be proclaimed, because it's too good to keep a secret. It doesn't mean you have to tell everybody everything that you experience in prayer, and maybe it's nobody's business anyway. But in the end, all those things will be known. In the next life, we stand before God completely exposed, completely open, and everybody can see what everybody else has done and said. And in God, there are no secrets. And nothing to be afraid of. So when he says, beware of the leaven, that is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, he's talking about secrets in the heart, which are bad things, things that should be eliminated. In this case, the leaven is an inner corruption, a decay, which is not visible to the eye. The Pharisees looked very good. They didn't look like sinners. They looked like holy men. But because of this hypocrisy, this secret corruption eating away in their hearts and their consciences, they were not holy. And that had to be addressed. And we know from so many passages in the Gospels where Jesus tries to address this problem of hypocrisy. What he's saying to us is, there's no value in being a hypocrite. There's no value in trying to keep a secret inner life that try to impress God by your holy actions, and inside keep some kind of resentment or attachments or pride, because God can see those things. Hypocrisy only fools some people. We might even think we can fool ourselves, but we never fool God. We don't keep any secrets from God. And Jesus goes on to speak about sparrows, meaning insignificant, ordinary, common birds. Sometimes you can hear little birds here in the chapel, right? Can you hear me? I don't notice them all the time, but sometimes you can hear them tweeting and twittering away. And we don't pay any attention to them because they're of no particular value to us. It's nice to have a few birds around, but if there were five or three or eight, we wouldn't even notice. God knows. God notices. God knows exactly how many sparrows there are on this property right now and on this block right now and in the whole world right now. It's the exact number and how many feathers they have and how old they are and how many children they will have. He knows everything. So he says, you say five sparrows are sold for two small coins. They're worthless to you. But not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Why is he telling us that? So that we will pay attention to sparrows? No. So that we know that God pays attention to us, even the seemingly insignificant details of our life. God knows. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. I'm sure you know those ads for people's hair. Well, people's hair falling out, hair fall, hair loss, all these different things. We don't really know how many hairs we have. And usually it doesn't make any difference. But God does know. So he knows everything. And then his conclusion is, do not be afraid. It's something to reflect on. We say, well, there are some things we wish nobody knew. Even God. But that's not the right attitude to take before God. Better to say, God knows everything about me, even things I don't know myself, and he still loves me. He knows the worst thing I've ever done, and he loves me. He knows things that I haven't even done yet, I haven't even thought of yet, and he loves me. He holds it all before him, and he doesn't reject me. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. If he can count the sparrows, how much more is he going to count us, whom he wants with him in heaven? So this idea of secrets and of sparrows is all to lay open before us the greatness of God and our place in his heart. He knows the secrets of our heart. We don't know the secrets of God's heart. We can't fathom the greatness of his mercy. It's beyond measure. But we know, because he's revealed it to us, that he treasures us. He wants us to be included in that vast ocean of mercy and goodness and love. And that's a secret that has to be proclaimed. In the first reading, we read a little bit about Abraham, our father in faith, and how his faith is what justified him. His faith is credited to him as righteousness. Well, that sounds like legal language to us. What Paul is talking about here is the secret of how to be saved. The secret which was not known before the coming of Jesus Christ. There's a place, I think it's in Paul's writings, where he says even the angels longed to understand these things. But it was a secret that was not revealed until the coming of Jesus Christ. So Abraham didn't know what we know, but he trusted in God. So he knew the secret without understanding it. He knew the secret of faith without knowing how far it would take him. But this is the secret that Paul feels he's been entrusted with, and it has to be proclaimed. The secret which is now revealed. That's why we call it revelation, right? Revelation. It's the secret plan of God for our salvation, that there's a way to deal with the problem of sin. And the way to deal with sin is not that we redeem ourselves by doing good things or by making ourselves look good, which is what the Pharisees were doing. The answer to sin is not hypocrisy or pretending that we're not sinners or any good actions. Good actions are good, but they don't make us free from sin. What makes us free from sin is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ applied to us in baptism and in the sacraments, applied to us by faith. So when we put our trust in that extraordinary gift of God, he saves us. When we have faith that God saves us in Jesus Christ, we change the way we live. So faith expressed in love. Faith expressed in love. That's the secret. That's the secret. And that secret is not supposed to be put under a bushel basket or under a bed or hidden away in a closet. It's supposed to be proclaimed, because even though it's already revealed and it's written down and it's been shared through the ages, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't know this secret. So those who know it have a responsibility to make it known. To make it known. We make known the greatness of God's plan for sinners, but when we do that, we expose ourselves as included among the sinners who get the benefit. So when we give testimony, we have to include our part, which is we're sinners too. The testimony of sinners who have been redeemed is powerful when it reaches the ears of other sinners living in darkness and ignorance who don't know the way out. You say, well, that guy found a way, and look at him, he's happy. So well, there's really hope for me. So that's the secret. Let's rejoice that the secret is being revealed, that the secret is entrusted to us, and let's take our part in making it known to the world.